With waves of feeling, luscious sounds, and a voice that was smooth, Quiet Blue has been working hard at developing a body of work that represents a lifetime of musical influence, but also how he's feeling about the world. With his debut EP Before Dawn now out in the world, we've got a bit more of a glimpse into the mind of Nick Giorgio, an artist that has laid out his dreams and thoughts into a brilliant 6-track EP. Also, he's on the line right now. Hello, Quiet Blue.
Hey, Mick, how's it going?
Ah, so good, Nick. You mind if I call you Nick, or should I call you Quiet Blue? I don't mind.
Oh, Nick's fine. Quiet Blue's a little bit formal.
It is a bit. It's like your formal name. Yeah. When you introduce yourself.
Yes.
Thanks so much for joining us here on the Tuck Shop on 2SER, and appreciate you taking your time on a Sunday arvo.
No, thanks for having me. Very excited.
Congrats on the EP. I always love talking to artists who've released their first body of work, and for something that I'm sure you've been working on for a long time. How does it feel to get it out in the world?
Oh, it's pretty crazy feeling. I think it's, you know, been over a year in the making. So getting it out there, it's sort of kind of amazing, but also sad because it's sort of behind me now. But it's a really good feeling to, you know, let everyone see what I've been working on. So I'm very excited about it.
Okay, so you only started working on this about a year ago. And is that when you'd say you started this project? Because I'm sure you've been doing music for a long, long time.
Yeah, no, well, I started this project a little bit under 2 years ago. Yeah. I released my first song in May 2 years ago. So yeah, a little bit less than 2 years. And it would sort of started off a lot differently than where it is now. I was sort of very much a folk acoustic sort of guy, but I'd say this sort of slate of music has been around a year in the making. I've sort of changed the style up a lot. So that's where I sort of see two different sides of Quiet Blue, the sort of early stages and then this sort of stage.
Well, I was going to ask, because I mean, it's not really folky, you know, acoustic music anymore, which I know you've done in the past and particularly great at, but you've definitely dived a bit more into a sort of sonic landscape with, you know, synths and beautiful immersion in there. How was that conversion like? Did you sort of pick up the sounds and went, oh, I think this will go really well with my voice? Or was it just, how did you transition from one to the other?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I think I started off with all the folk stuff because that's the sort of music I listen to. That's what I've sort of listened to my whole life.
Yeah.
I sort of grew up with, you know, Bon Iver and Sufjan Stevens and more recently sort of the Leif Volbecks of the world. And that's what I started making just because that's the music I loved. But I think the more I made music, the more I found it a lot more interesting making this sort of music. So, you know, blending some electronic elements and like really challenging myself on the production side. So that's sort of how it happened, because it's sort of, for me, a lot more interesting, a lot more challenging to actually make these more, you know, atmospherically rich and sort of sonically intricate songs. So
yeah,
it's more for me, I think it's really, really, really like joyful, like doing that sort of process. So that's sort of why it's ended up where it is.
I guess, did you sort of teach yourself that production, those techniques? Did you pick up the software and like work it out yourself, go into a course? Like, I mean, I've tried using like Ableton and I'm pretty useless at it because this is, or Pro Tools, you know, it's just huge products and I'm like a bit intimidated by them. But how did you sort of get into that stuff?
Wow, yeah. Well, the sort of acoustic folk stuff, I sort of did it all on my own. I was at uni I went to uni at RMIT down here and we had some studios that we could use. So there was sort of a certain point about halfway through the course where I was just like, look, I'm going to go in and I'm just going to try and make a song. And that's where my first song For a While sort of came from. And now my current manager called Jordan, he's sort of introduced me to the world of electronic music, and he sort of taught me a lot of the ropes about how to do that side of things. So I've got to say I've learned a lot from him, but since then I've just been producing heaps and heaps and heaps and just trying 1,000 different things. Like most of these songs are sort of the finished product of, you know, 5 or 6 different attempts at making what I wanted to make that weren't quite there. And then as I'm doing that, I'm learning the little things that, you know, I should be doing to make certain sounds. So
yeah,
it's been a lot of learning on my own. And it's very daunting sometimes because, like you said, the music software, I use Logic, and
oh, yeah,
same, like the music software is so confusing sometimes, but It's almost as satisfying like finishing a song as it is like figuring out how to make one synth make one sound that you were picturing. So it's always really fun.
Oh, it is fun, and it's so exciting, I think, for a lot of budding musicians out there who maybe weren't sure how to get their music out there or create something really, really polished. But you can make really polished music and beautifully sound music with this software nowadays that, you know, you'd think it was, you know, back in the day, you wouldn't be able to do that by yourself. You'd be needing a lot of people to help. So you've managed to create a luscious, beautiful EP, just, you know, doing it yourself, I presume. Did you get much help with that sort of production side?
Yeah, actually, like I'm a huge fan of collaborating with people because I think I get very, very caught up in what I'm doing and it's almost counterproductive sometimes. Sometimes it's amazing, but you can just work on things till all hours of the night and just keep doing stuff. But I kind of really liked with this. So two of the songs I worked on with a guy called Edvard Harkinson, who's an amazing sound engineer down here in Melbourne. That was 2 a.m. in the night.
Yep.
And we, through the big lockdown down here in Melbourne, we did a couple webcam sessions and I actually had the songs from beforehand and we just switched them up and he sort of took them to a place that I just like didn't even think to do. And that was really fun. Yeah. And I've got a really good relationship with a Melbourne based producer and artist called Ajale, who's called Jerry in the real world, not his stage name. And he, he mixes and masters pretty much all of my stuff. So he, like I always say this to him, when I send something to him to, you know, mix it and master it, he always adds his own little personal touches to things. And I absolutely love what he does because when I get the songs back from him, it's all the sounds that like I wanted, but they're like the songs feel completely different. So I that's one of my favorite parts of the, you know, writing process and production process. Getting them back and feeling like it's a completely new song.
Yeah, amazing, especially if you found someone who you can collaborate with that I guess gets what you want out of these songs and is finishing up with something exactly what you're after.
Yeah, exactly. It's weird how he almost knows sometimes what I want without me even knowing it yet or without me telling him. So it's great. It's been really good working with him.
Let's dig into the EP a little bit more. And look, you've declared it as a bit of a, what was the word you said? A love letter to the night before dawn. And it's a time, you know, the nighttime. Some people love it. Some people hate it. And I read that you might have suffered from things like bad dreams and insomnia and stuff like that. Is that true? Like, is that what sleep is for you? Do you struggle sometimes to find that sleep that you're after?
Well, it's sort of here and there because as much as I struggle with sleeping and having good sleeping patterns, it's almost myself that is causing it. Like I have just always, since as far back as I can remember, been an extreme night owl. Like even back at school in like year 8 and 9, I'd be up till like 2 or 3 in the morning because like that's just when I could do my work. Like that's when I'm really focused. Yeah. And I've found that that's why I've got a very interesting relationship with the night because I kind of know that having bad sleeping patterns and not sleeping is like really quite bad for you in the daytime. But I also have this really intense relationship with the night that's what I sort of associate with doing my best work and doing all my creative stuff and being really productive. So it's a really big like love-hate relationship because sometimes if I want to get early nights and get into a good pattern, I can't really do it now, which is really annoying, but it's also like, I also love this time because this is when I have really good memories of like breakthroughs with the music stuff, all my writing of the music stuff it's now. So it's a very much a love-hate relationship.
I can understand that. I like the sort of ideology and the idea of before dawn, because for anyone who's an early riser, and I'm not, but if I ever do wake up before dawn, before the sun comes up, I used to do like breakfast radio and I'd really love that peaceful time just before the city wakes up or before everyone's, you know, starting to chirp and the birds are sort of getting going. But it is a quiet time. It's really a strange time, but you can sort of really reflect because you feel like you're by yourself. Is that sort of how you felt as well? Like overnight, like you're by yourself, you're isolating, you could create some of the stuff that you wanted to do.
I completely agree. Like that's the thing that's amazing. Like even there's not many people in the world that like being up at 4 in the morning. So no matter what, if you're up at that time, you feel like you're the only person that's left in the world. And it's very isolating, but it's sometimes like that's the best because you're just with yourself. And even if you like have your phone on you, you're not getting notifications. It's almost like a time that you can just completely be alone with your thoughts and there's no outside input, which is why I really love that time.
Yeah, for sure. We're going to play a quick track. Well, we're going to play the first track from the EP right now, so people can get a bit of a feel for you if they haven't heard your music yet. I'm going to play Come Into the Water.
Lovely.
What can you tell us about that?
This one's a very interesting song because it's sort of, in my mind, it's about, I used to live in Sydney actually, and I had a summer where me and my one of my best mates, we'd surf religiously, and there was one night where we stayed out, the waves were perfect, we stayed out till it literally got dark and we were just like under the stars and we didn't want to get out, and it was just this really like intense, like we were really scared because, you know, sharks, but we were also like, this is a crazy moment that we don't want to leave. And so it's very intense for me, and this song kind of was just a way to just pour that all out. And that's one of my favorite memories of the night. And it's also why it's the first track, because it's sort of like the day ushering in the nighttime and what that sort of means. So yeah, it started off as just this like little 4-bar little riff I had. And then I took it to Jordan, who I sort of write a lot of the music with, and we just turned it into a full song. So this one was a very, very crazy one to have happened, but it's one of my favorites from the EP.
Well, listen to it right now. We're talking to Quiet Blue from Before Dawn. This is Come Into the Water.
Underneath the sea and it's all alive.
That is Quiet Blue right there. From his debut EP. The next one's starting. We better stop that. From his debut EP, Before Dawn, we are talking to Nick Giorgio, the amazing creator of that song. And that is the first track off the EP. And yeah, I think it's a perfect way to introduce us to Quiet Blue if you haven't heard him before. Was it a tricky sort of process trying to work out the order of these songs on the EP?
Not as hard as I thought, because the first sort of draft of figuring out where they'd all fit kind of worked perfectly, because we sort of just got them all finished and I put them all into a little SoundCloud link and then just listened to them all in a row. And like, just, this was the first order that I thought of, and ended up working great. Yeah.
I think that feeling of water at night as well it really evokes feelings of fear for some people, like, who don't like the water at night, but I think it's also a beautiful time, especially for a surfer, to be in the water. Have you ever had any close encounters with sharks?
Well, funnily enough, that's why we were so scared that night, because we were at that beach we were at is called Newport. It's just on the northern beaches. And we were there a few weeks earlier, and we were with a few other guys, and someone was just like, guys, I think I've just seen something. I think we should get out. So all of us were like, whoa, okay. And you get that sort of instant feeling of, oh gosh. But we got out, and then we were looking at the news the next day, and there was a great white spotted at Newport a few hours earlier. So like, we were a bit like, gosh, maybe this person did actually see something.
You never know, hey? Like, it's beautiful. Sharks are beautiful creatures, but you know, you just... that's their domain at sort of certain times of the day. I feel like I'm like, you have your thing, we'll come back another time.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's definitely the dusk is their domain. It's their time. So it's not the smartest decision to be in there.
We've talked about something.
You've got to stay in. Sorry, no, it's fine. You go.
We've talked about some of your influences already, and people like Sufjan Stevens, Bon Iver, and then you mentioned people like RYX and Matt Corby, you know, Australian artists as well. Have you, you know, had a chance to sort of meet some of these Australian artists like Matt Corby and RYX about, and talk to them about their process and how they've developed their sound?
Not really. I got to meet another amazing guy called Hayne Cooper a couple of years ago. And he makes very sort of similar music that's, you know, definitely got some like acoustic, you know, bearings, but then he brings a lot more instrumentation and sort of electronic stuff into it. And he was just a really cool guy, but we didn't get to talk too much about the music side of things. But I think, it's hard. It's hard getting into a situation where you can chat to some of these people that you revere so well.
Yeah.
Just to pick their brain a little bit. It's I very much hope to be able to do that in the future, though. There's so many things that I would want to ask them about how they did certain things and where they get their inspiration from and their sort of production chops with stuff. So I really hope that I would be able to.
Someone like Sufjan Stevens, who has taken that trajectory and he's gone back and forward between sort of quiet instrumental music into synthy electronic stuff and then back and forward. I mean, he'd be an amazing artist to talk to and just discover how he, you know, works between those two genres and comes up with his sound.
Oh, couldn't agree more. And I think another person that I know, it's a long shot, but talking to someone like Justin Vernon or anything like that, who just makes such unique sounds. Like, there's so many sounds in Bon Iver songs that I just like think to myself, all right, I wonder how you make that. And I honestly just can't figure it out. Like, there would be so many interesting things where I would just want to ask them how they did things.
Yeah. I think that's the quality of experience and learning as you go, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's probably it.
What are your sort of earliest memories of music? Like, did you have a musical household? Were your parents sort of listening to anything specific that you picked up on?
Yeah, well, I had a very musical household. Mum was an extreme... Mum loves, you know, Beatles and like classic sort of older older pop songs, but Dad is a jazz man. He absolutely loves bossa nova and the sort of, you know, Brazilian Portuguese sort of music. So I actually learned music pretty much on guitar, learning more jazz bossa nova sort of music. So I've got that sort of background, which I absolutely love, because that music is, it's very special, and it sort of got me into learning the technical side of things from a pretty young age. But I only really started, you know, listening to music for myself pretty late, I would say. Like, I remember, like, my earliest memory, like the first live show I went to was actually a Hungry Kids of Hungary show, which was a Brisbane, way back in the day. And it was just such a crazy night, because me obviously not knowing anything, like, the first support that night was Big Scary.
Oh, special.
And then the second support was Ballpark Music. And then it was Hungry Kids of Hungary.
Oh,
And
what a show.
there's me not knowing anything. Just like, I know, it was crazy. Like, I look back and I'm like, if I could just go to that again, that's like one of the craziest shows ever. That would have been so cool to see again, now that I know a bit more about the music world. But that was sort of when, I think that was about year, possibly even year 6 or 7, when I went there. And I think that's when I started figuring out my own tastes.
Yeah.
And yeah, it sort of just went from there.
That's awesome. I think someone like Tom Jancic from Big Scary would be an amazing person to see as well, and to sort of learn off. I mean, I look at the way he makes sounds, and he's a bit of a freak at the way he can do it as well as he does. He would have been a great to see live back then.
Yes, definitely. And he'd be a great person to talk to just about industry things as well. You
Oh,
know,
yeah.
he's very sort of prolific across the industry, you know, with like Number One Dads, Big Scary, No Mono, like, he's everywhere.
Totally.
He's got the Pie Eater label, and so he'd be a great person to chat to.
For sure, for sure. We have to hook that up, eh?
Yes, pull some strings.
Yeah. We're talking to Nick Giorgio, who also goes by Quiet Blue, who has just released his debut EP Before Dawn. You're in Melbourne right now, obviously stuck in this mini lockdown, which is always not fun. How has it been for you? Like, in Melbourne's such a vibrant city for music, and obviously everyone's craving to get out there and play live music and see live music. You must be on the precipice right now of being able to do that again. How are you feeling about this year going forward?
I'm excited. I mean, funnily enough, I was actually able to play a show a couple of weeks ago, at the Retreat Hotel. That was an amazing experience, like being able to just get back on stage and even just take in the live music scene, you know, just play music and then talk to a bunch of other musicians afterwards. And like, it felt so good getting back to that. So hopefully we can get things a bit more under control, and get a bit more, you know, reliable shows coming up, so we can just get back into it full on. But it's a bit demoralizing, you know, coming back into freedom and then going back and then coming back. But it's the way it has to be.
Yeah, it is. I guess we'll all get to that point where hopefully we'll rem get back to how it was, you know, and everyone will just be hungry for music and be able to digest it. And maybe it'll be even more exciting because we've had that time where we haven't been able to appreciate and enjoy live music. And all of a sudden, when we can again, like freely stand up, have big crowds, it's going to be amazing. I can't wait.
Oh, me neither. I'm very, very excited.
Well, let's talk about another song on the EP before we let you go. This one's IKYWTL, and you have to listen to the song to know what that stands for. And I believe, oh, I think I know. I know you want to live, I believe is what it stands for. Can you tell us? Is that right?
It's actually, I know you want to leave.
Oh my gosh, it's leave. I thought it
Yes.
was. Oh, sort of listen a bit closer. I know you want to
Oh
leave.
no,
See,
I'm sorry to burst your bubble.
no, it's a great song, and I thought there might have been some really deep stories about this, and I obviously didn't listen close enough. But can you tell us about this one? I know you want to leave it. I mean, it's sad.
No, it is a sad one. I think this is probably, as far as the content of the song goes, probably for me, the saddest one on the EP. I mean, Are We on a One Way Train's got a similar storyline to it, but this one's, I think, more in depth, because it's sort of just about that like really terrible moment in relationships where two people are too scared to move on, but you both know deep down that that's what should happen. And I think that's what that chorus is about. It's warmer in the sunlight, but the ground is cold beneath your feet. It's sort of saying like you're in a position that you should be kind of warm, and it seems all well and good, but you can feel the coldness of the ground under your feet. You can sort of feel what's going wrong. And, you know, I'll never let you say bye, even though I know you want to leave, is sort of like you're too scared to let that person go. And to be honest, as far as my experiences goes, it's not so much about me. It's just more that I've noticed it happen so many times with people around me. And it's a really, really sad, sad thing to see when people feel almost trapped in relationships because they're too scared to figure out what it would be like away from that relationship. And yeah, so I think it's just a very intense song as far as the content goes. But yeah, it's a pretty tough topic for a lot of people.
Yeah, it is. And I think a lot of your lyrics on his record really evoke some personal experiences and feelings around certain things around life. I know I've read some articles around Hollow and how that's it's an older song, not on your CP, but how you're sort of writing about futility and how sometimes you can build things up in your mind and then maybe they don't end up how you expect they will, and it can feel quite futile, but that you've got to push through these things and try and find the positives, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's sort of a big theme for me. Like, a lot of what goes on in our brains, we get just so caught up and we feel trapped a lot of the time. And especially with Hollow, I sort of just wrote that it's sort of really hard to step back sometimes and notice the situation that you're in. And it's really hard to force your brain to think in a certain way. So the best that we can do sometimes is sort of just find a balance and understand that we're going to have to be sad sometimes, and understand that in a week we're probably going to be happy about something. So it's sort of just understanding yourself and being able to go with the ups and the downs without getting too down on yourself for being down, or without being almost angry at yourself for being too happy as well. I know that's something that is a weird one when you're sort of really happy and sometimes you feel like you don't deserve that happiness. I think it's just really important to find a balance within yourself and be able to just go with these feelings and just let them come to you and sort of experience them rather than telling yourself how to act in certain situations.
Yeah, I love that. And I think like you say, it's all about balance. It's all about taking the good with the bad and the happy with the sad. That's how it goes. I'm not a songwriter. You do it a lot better.
No, that was very good. I have to write that down. No.
I really appreciate chatting to you today. It's exciting to talk to you just on the just as your debut EP's come out, and really excited to see where you go, and hopefully we'll see you up in Sydney for a surf and maybe a gig.
Oh, I would love that.
Looking forward to it. We'll come say good day. We're going to leave you now, but Nick Quiet Blue, thank you so much for chatting to us on the Tuck Shop today.
No, thanks so much for having me. It was great to be here.
We're going to leave it now with IKYWTL, and I now know what it stands for. I Know You Want to Leave, from Quiet Blue on the Tuck Shop on 2SER.
Warmer in the sunlight. Swimming down the streets of the cold seas.